As I read over the scripture this past week and was thinking about this, meditating on it all week, as you can see by the bulletin, I was at a loss to come up with a title for today's sermon until just actually this morning reading over it again and thinking about it, and decided to entitle this Miracle Workers. It's a story about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the church, the believers and followers of Jesus Christ, because that's what we are as followers of Christ. We're miracle workers. We're miracle workers. If you talk to most Christians today, many of them will tell you that although they may believe miracles can happen, they think that they really are rare and few and far between in this day and age. Some even believe that miracles don't happen anymore. They were designed for a specific period of time in the church history. And what's even more heartbreaking in talking to many Christians is when they will tell you, as we profess in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in God, God the Father. We believe in Jesus, God the Son. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, well, we're not really sure about this Holy Spirit thing. And we really think that we aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, or that maybe we don't have spiritual gifts. When we start to think like this, that we as Christians, or maybe you personally as a Christian, don't have any spiritual gifts, you're actually denying the biblical truth. You're denying of God's fulfilled promise in the coming of the Holy Spirit. You're actually rejecting the Holy Spirit, which is actually blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And technically and biblically in the Bible, that's an unforgivable sin, an unpardonable sin. I cannot stress the importance of the presence of the Holy Spirit in every single believer. When we have an attitude that we don't have any spiritual gifts and Christianity is about us and what we receive, salvation, and that's as far as it goes, it's almost as if I would come in here on Sunday morning and just simply sit down and not do anything and not say anything. You say, well, that's what you get paid for. Well, if I did this because of financial means, I'd have left the ministry long ago, because believe me, it's not about money. And the war that ministers wage with the enemy surpasses any amount of money in this world, folks. It's a week in and week out, day in and day out battle that we face. And it's only a battle that, in my own personal testimony, has been won to the point that I can stand here on Sunday morning while the enemy's shouting from every direction at me, that I can stand here and open God's Word to us, that we can learn and grow, but more importantly, that the Holy Spirit literally jumps out of the pages of Scripture into our lives to refresh our souls and empower us to be miracle workers and live as Jesus wants us to live. The book of Acts is not about the acts of the apostles, it's about the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. A fulfillment of a promise hundreds of years earlier, when God said to His people, before, during, and after the Babylonian captivity, a day is coming when I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit, my own Spirit on you, and empower you in a way beyond what you can imagine. And that's what the book of Acts teaches us and shows us. We know the day that this happened is Pentecost. It was 50 days after the resurrection. It was a festival, a Jewish festival, and many people were in Jerusalem for that festival. And you know the story, the Holy Spirit came, there was a sound of wind, there was the tongues of fire that came down on those gathered there. It's one of the most misunderstood and misrepresented and misguided scriptures, stories in all of Scripture, because the church have taken that stuff and we have just contorted it to the point where we've divided the body of Jesus Christ regarding the gifts of the Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues was given to those that were gathered together that day so that others could understand the wonders of God. Not so everybody was confused and people were scared out of their wits and nobody came back to that church, you see. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is something that's promised to every believer. Paul said to the Ephesians that having heard the word and believed the word, you were given a seal, you were sealed, a guarantee of your inheritance, of the promise of eternal life. That seal is God's stamp on your life, that you're His, you're His children. So we say, God, help us be your children. Help us be your children. Help us be who you want us to be. In our text today, in Acts chapter 3, we see the very first miracle recorded after the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. It tells us that the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were gathering together day in and day out after that great day of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. It says miraculous miracles were done and miraculous signs were done, but it doesn't specifically say what they were until we get to the third chapter, the first miracle recorded, giving us specifics. After the coming of the Holy Spirit, wasn't speaking in tongues. It was healing. It was healing. In John chapter 14, in verse 9, you know the story. Jesus is with his disciples. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? There are people that have been Christians for 50 years, and they still don't really know Jesus after he's been with them this long time. They don't understand. Jesus says, how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father? The Father's in me? The words I say to you aren't my own. It's my Father's words. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and he'll do even greater things. He'll do what I've been doing and do even greater things. You see, when we start talking about healing people, that's what Jesus was doing in his ministry. He was going around giving sight to the blind, healing the lame, all kinds of things. So one day when Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m, normal day for them, just a normal day, they were going up to the temple for prayer, 3 p.m, a man that was crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. We see two things here. We see the man's condition and the man's needs. The man was not able to walk. He was carried to the temple gates to beg for money. You see. Now understand that in that culture, having a condition like that would have implied that there was either some serious sin in you, or that your mother and father or someone had committed a serious sin. Remember the man that was born blind from birth? Jesus gave him his sight. And they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, none of them. This was allowed so that you can see the glory and power of God. Here this man is. He's a beggar. He's lame. Couldn't walk from the time he was born. So to most of the people coming in and out of the temple, this man probably had some sort of sin. In other words, in our common language, he deserved to be that way. He got what was coming to him. In the culture of that day, he was probably down near the lowest rung. Peter and John came into the temple. There he was. What was his needs? Money. Money. Finances. Because with money, he could do what he wanted. He could buy food to eat. He can pay someone to take care of him. You see, he had many needs. It all boiled down to finances. So Peter said, look at us. And the man did look, gave him his attention, because he was expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver or gold we don't have, but what I have, I'll give you. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I want to ask you folks something. If you met somebody who was needy or in this condition, what would your speech, your communication be with them? What would you say to them? Imagine the faith of Peter to do this. First of all, to come up and even associate with this man to begin with. And then to say, I'll tell you what, I don't have money, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Walk. This is Peter's faith in Jesus and his compassion on the man that was lame. He took the man by the right hand and helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. He went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The man was healed. He praised God. And the people were filled with wonder and amazement. I want you to think about this. The man was healed. He praised God. And the people were filled with wonder and amazement. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit works, you know. People are changed. They're transformed physically, spiritually, in every way. And they praise God. And everyone around them is filled with wonder and amazement because they can't understand and they can't sometimes accept what happens in those situations. I want you to think back a little bit. Here's Peter and John. Two men that were in the boat with Jesus when the storm came up on the lake, right? And they were scared to death. We're going to die. We're going to die. Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. Two fishermen. Hardened fishermen that had no power to control the storm. Now all of a sudden they're telling a lame man, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Something was different about these two men. And that something was they were filled with the Holy Spirit that gave them the ability and the faith and the confidence to do something that they could not do before. They were miracle workers like you and I. You say, well, I don't have that gift of healing. Maybe not. But you have a gift in you because when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside you because you believe in Jesus Christ, and the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit only lives in believers and followers of Jesus, and when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you, He's not just sitting there, sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back. He's working on your heart and your mind, trying to get you to spring into action, to share what you have, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. And when we just sit around and don't talk about Jesus, share our testimony about Jesus, help others, or see the needs and have compassion on others, we're literally sitting around in our chairs stifling the Holy Spirit. And the Bible strictly forbids that kind of stuff. God really frowns on that. He frowns on that. I was amazed by the faith of a man at the hospital the other day. I was sitting out under the awning at one of the entrances the other day waiting for someone to come pick me up. And this one fellow that is part of, I guess, the valet system there of getting people's cars, parking them, so on, getting people out of their cars and helping them in. I looked at this man and I thought, wow, man, you're awesome. You're tall, you're muscular. Look at you. And you're helping needy people out of their cars into the hospital. And I was sitting there, and he was standing outside, and I started sharing conversation with him, expressing my wonder at how many people I could get to give me their keys when they parked, saying, I'm a valet worker, I will take your keys and hold them while you're gone, and then take their car for a spin around the block. You know, I worked my mind on it that way. So we started talking about this guy and I. All of a sudden, we started talking about things in the world and people's needs and hurting people. And he started talking about God and about how God didn't intend our world to be the way it is and about God's presence in the world and so on. It was an amazing thing for this man to share that. I almost felt guilty. I was the preacher. I should have been the one sharing that with him. How many of us live our lives day in and day out and never share what we have? The greatest thing we have, the greatest possession in our lives, is someone else, and that's stand up and walk. Now let's get some clarity. The beggar held on to Peter and John, and all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why does this surprise you? I'm amazed. There are a lot of doctors these days that pray with their patients before surgery. It's an awesome thing. But I'm amazed at how many people are surprised by what God does. And in some cases, they just dismiss it as coincidence or just as good luck." You see, why does this surprise you, men of Israel? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we made this man walk? No, Peter says, this wasn't our doing. This wasn't by our own power. This wasn't by our own power. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we're witnesses of this, and by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know has now been made strong. And it's in Jesus' name, and the faith that comes through him, that's given this complete healing to the man, as you can all see. As you can all see. You know, we pray for people, we pray for this, we pray for that in our lives. God chooses to do with people what He desires. We cannot get angry with God because He doesn't just march to the beat of our prayers, but we pray to God and ask God to open our eyes to His working in each situation so that we can praise God and tell others about God and testify about God's marvelous works. And they can all see that it's God working, not us, in these situations. What happened with this man, up to this point, was only spoken of about Jesus. Jesus healed the lame, caused the blind to see, healed the sick. And all of a sudden now Peter and John are doing it. That would seem really, really strange. Could it be that Jesus lives in them and now empowers them? Absolutely. Back in Isaiah chapter 61, if you studied Isaiah with us over this past winter, we learned about the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah and talking about the Spirit of the Lord being on the Messiah, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The coming of the Messiah, Jesus. As we turn to Luke chapter 4, if you remember, in Luke 4:18, Jesus returned to Galilee and the power of the Spirit, news about Him spread. He taught in the synagogues. Everyone praised Him. He went to Nazareth where He'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, remember, He went into the synagogue and He was handed the scroll. He stood up to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release, freedom for the prisoners, release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And He rolled up the scroll and He gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down, and the eyes of everyone was on Him. And He said, "I tell you the truth, in your presence here today, this has been fulfilled." Jesus was declaring, "I'm the one that Isaiah was talking about." You see, I'm the one Isaiah was talking about. Later on in Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist's disciples told John about all the things Jesus was doing. He sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" The man came to Jesus and said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you these, because at that very time Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. So He said to the messengers, 'Go back and report to John what you've seen, what you've heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached.' Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. You see, now, a short time later, after the death of Jesus, Peter and John went out. Isn't that what Jesus said? I'll ask the Father and He'll send another advocate, another comforter to be with you, the Spirit of Truth. He'll teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said to you. He'll not only live with you, He'll live inside you. And He'll do greater things. Isn't that what Jesus said was going to happen? Peter and John. Peter and John. Do we have any Peter and Johns here this morning? Believers, followers of Christ, that couldn't calm the storm until the Holy Spirit came, and now they could tell a lame man to get up and walk, performing the miracles of Jesus for the glory of God. What did this? I wrote two questions down to finalize this morning. What did this mean for that man? What does it mean for us today? It meant for that man salvation and freedom. It meant for that man that now not only was he healed physically, that his sin, his supposed sin, was forgiven by God, because only God could heal somebody, you see. So now that man's sins were healed, or his sins were forgiven, his body was healed, and he was restored into the community. You know all about those Jewish laws. He was restored into the community. Wholeness. Wholeness came to this man because of the compassion and faith of Peter. What does this mean for us today? It means salvation and freedom. It means for us who have received Jesus, have received the Holy Spirit. It's the most awesome thing to exercise our spiritual gifts. And you might say, I don't know what mine are. One of the best ways to find out what they are is working for the Lord. Working for the Lord. There is no task too small when we work for the Lord, having compassion on others, exercising our faith, giving credit to Jesus Christ. It brings salvation. It brings freedom. It brings wholeness to our world. I just quickly want to follow up on this real quickly. Peter says, now brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. That's the big problem today, folks, is ignorance. People do not want to read this. They don't want to study it. They don't care to understand it because they think it's not relevant to our day and age. That's ignorance. Because when we read this, when we understand it, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a power beyond this world at our fingertips in the power of the Holy Spirit. He went on to say in chapter 4, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking, and they were disturbed. So what did they do? They seized Peter and John and they put them in jail until the next day. Put them in jail. You're going to get persecuted. I can promise you that you're going to get persecuted. Sometimes, minute by minute, you're going to get persecuted. The enemy is going to work on you and try and get you to turn back, to close your mouth, and to quit doing what you're doing for the Lord of life. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and were asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. You want a picture of God, right here it is. And it only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of human man or humanity. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. In the Wesleyan tradition of the United Methodist Church, we learn about three types of grace: prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. Prevenient grace is the work of the Holy Spirit bringing us to that knowledge of Jesus Christ, giving us faith to say, yes, I believe, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Once we receive Jesus, the grace of God and the salvation and the saving grace saves us from our sins, puts God's seal of approval on us, fills us with the Holy Spirit, and from then on out through the rest of our life, we experience the grace of God and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, giving us the power to do what we could not normally do by human means. And that's not for our own good. It's for the good of the whole world, the whole community, our whole homes, that the power of the Holy Spirit works through us to bring wholeness, healing, and salvation to the world. You say, that's your job, Pastor Mike. No, it isn't. The Bible tells us it's every Christian's job. It's the church's job to do that because the church is filled with the Holy Spirit. You folks go places I don't. I go places you don't. We all go different places. We all have different ministries, whatever they are. Nothing is too small when the power of the Holy Spirit is in it. Remember that this week. I want you to remember that day by day. Your calling as a Christian is to share the good news, to turn to people who need healing and wholeness, and tell them, I'll give you what I have. Faith in Jesus Christ. Here's the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus and know wholeness and salvation. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and pray that as we live out our Christian